good afternoon. Welcome again to the story of Fanny Crosby, the blind poetess and hymn writer who lived over 100 years ago. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to sing a song that she wrote and quote one of her favorite Bible verses. Okay? Let's pray, then we'll do that and hear the story. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you've given us people like Fanny Crosby to be an inspiration to us. Help each boy and girl and each man and woman to use their talents for you like Fanny did, whether it's to write a hymn or whether it's to sing a song. Help us, Father, to do what you want us to do. And if any listening to this are not saved and sure they're going to heaven, help them to believe what the Bible says and what we and Fanny Crosby have always tried to teach, that Jesus paid for all of our sins when he died on the cross of Calvary, and he rose again and lives to be able to save us and pray for us, and he's coming again one day. Help us to love Jesus and serve him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead then and look at, first of all, the Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7. It's a short one. Can you say it with us? For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Very good. Now, a song that Fanny Crosby wrote is called Near the Cross. It talks about a fountain flowing because in the Bible it talks about Jesus' blood when it came out of his hands and they put nails in his hands like a fountain. And that fountain is like water that washes us, only Jesus' blood paid for all of our sin. And so when we trust in him, then we have peace and happiness, and we know for sure that we'll one day cross the river of death and go into heaven where Fanny is and where Jesus is waiting for us. So it talks about in this song the fountain and the river of death, but how the Lord cleanses us, washes us of all of our badness, and promises us a home in heaven. Let's see if we can sing that song that Fanny Crosby wrote, okay? Here we go. Let me change here to get the picture with the song a little bit bigger so that we can be able to sing it together. In fact, I think I'll make myself real tiny here and look at the song as a bigger words, okay? Good. Now let's see if we can look at the story of Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer and poetess. The new school term had just begun. Fanny stood in an open doorway listening to the children's laughter as they played on the lawn. Crunch! Someone was walking up the driveway. Somebody was crying. Fanny stepped outside and waited until the person came closer. May I help you? She asked gently. A small voice said brokenly, I want to go home. Fanny reached out and pulled a young child to her. Why do you want to go home, Sarah? She asked, wiping her tears. Everything is so different and so scary, Sarah stammered. I'm afraid. Why, Sarah, Fanny said, that's exactly what I thought when I came to the Institute. I was much older than you are, but I made friends. Would you like to hear about my first days here? Fanny felt the little girl nod her head. So taking her by her hand, she led Sarah inside where all was quiet, and they could be alone to talk. And soon Sarah's crying stopped. She even giggled. "Oh, I like you, Miss Crosby," she exclaimed, throwing her arms around Fanny's neck. Everybody liked Fanny, both students and teachers. Lonely students learned she was their friend. She listened to their problems and cheered those who were discouraged. Even teachers at the Institute asked Fanny for help. Let me see if I can make this a little bit different so you can see the picture better. One day, Fanny heard the music teacher playing a tune on the piano. "Why, Mr. Root, how wonderful you should publish that," Fanny exclaimed. "Well, I have no words for the song, Fanny, just the tune," George Root replied. "Well, this is what your melody says to me," Fanny said, and she quoted a poem she had just thought of. Mr. Root was pleased. Throughout the summer, Fanny wrote several songs for the music teacher. Some became very popular. The songs earned quite a bit of money for Mr. Root, but Fanny was only paid a few dollars for her poems. However, Fanny received something better than money. She learned she could write poems for music, which people enjoyed singing. It seemed God was showing her which direction to take. Knowing God's will was better than money. At the same time Fanny was writing songs for George Root, another teacher was singing songs to Fanny. He was singing her love songs. Fanny had met him years before when the students from the Institute were on a boat trip. Do you remember that? His mother had introduced them and told Fanny he would be going to the Institute for the Blind, and would she please take care of him. Alexander von Alstein, or Van, as he was called, had attended the Institute, graduated, and went to college. Now he played the piano, organ, and trumpet, composed songs, and even taught music. He returned to the Institute as a teacher. Van and Fanny were both musicians. He wrote music, and she wrote poems. Van discovered the words of the love songs he sang to Fanny said what he really felt to her, for her. "Fanny," Van began one evening, "I love you. I would like you to be my wife. But would you want a blind man for your husband? If you want a blind woman for your wife, I could want a blind man for my husband," Fanny replied with a laugh. "I love you too, Van. Yes, yes, I will be your wife." Soon after that, Van left the Institute and became a private music teacher. Several months later, Fanny resigned her teaching position and also left the school. She traveled to a small New York town where Van lived. They were married there. Fanny was now a blind housewife. Few of her neighbors knew that she was the well-known poetess writing her third book. She was happy with her kind and cheerful husband. Van was not only kind to Fanny, he gave music lessons to the poor children in town and charged them very little. He supported Fanny by playing the organ in several churches. Their first year together went very quickly. It was an exciting day when Fanny knew she was to become a mother. Van and Fanny waited eagerly. But when the baby was born, it did not live. Fanny said later, "The angels came down and took our child up to God on his throne." She would not even talk about the child. She was very sad. As the days passed, Fanny remembered one of her grandmother's favorite verses, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Over and over, Fanny prayed, "Oh, my baby's death seems so much more than I can bear, Lord. But thank you, Father, for your comfort. The next year, Fanny and Van moved to New York City again. Soon afterward, the Civil War began, and Fanny wrote patriotic and war songs. But there were more important songs to be written. The churches needed hymns and gospel songs, songs people could enjoy singing, songs that would encourage Christians to obey the Lord. William Bradbury was a man who had been writing hymns since the beginning of the Great Revival. His melodies were loved by the people who sang them, but he wanted new poems set to music. He was delighted when a minister told him he was sending a lady who could write the poems he needed. He was especially delighted when he heard the lady was the blind poetess, Fanny Crosby. Fanny was just as excited about her appointment with Mr. Bradbury. God assured her in her heart that this was an important meeting. It was as if the Lord was saying to her, "This is it, Fanny. You are going to be a hymn writer." "Fanny," Mr. Bradbury said when they introduced her, "I thank God that we have met at last. I believe you can write hymns. I have wished for a long time to have a talk with you." He sent her home with an assignment. Fanny was to return within a week with a hymn that would show Mr. Bradbury whether or not she could write hymns very well. What a challenge! She had written a lot of poetry, but could she write good hymns that people would sing? Ever since the death of her baby, Fanny had been discouraged. Now, as she remembered the scriptures she had memorized as a child, the words of the song began to come. "I shall write of heaven, and how beautiful it is," she declared. "Someday I shall go there. How sunshiny it will be. I shall see Jesus, and I'll see my little baby. We will never be separated again," Fanny smiled. The sadness she felt seemed to be going away as she composed the hymn. 3 days later, Fanny was back in the office with her first hymn. She waited while Mr. Bradbury looked at the poem. He stroked his bushy beard as he read it. The song was perfect. It had everything Mr. Bradbury wanted. "Fanny, I will use this in the hymn book I'm preparing now," he said warmly. The next week, Mr. Bradbury called Fanny to come quickly to his office. He had a tune for a song, but he needed words desperately. He played the melody several times. Fanny listened carefully until she had the rhythm and the melody memorized. Within a day, she was back with several stanzas for a hymn. When Mr. Bradbury read the words, he said, "Fanny, I am surprised beyond measure. Let me say that as long as I have a publishing house, you will always have work." Let me change the slide here if I can. That evening, Fanny shared the good news with her husband. "Van, God has done so much for me. He allowed me to go to school that I wanted so very much. I learned to write poetry and to teach at an institute. And best of all, I received the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior, and He changed my life. God was so patient with me. He brought us together, too. And then He took our baby up to heaven. I don't know why He did that, but God is good. He does not make mistakes. Now I feel the most important part of my life is just beginning." Fanny was ready to do what God had planned. Fanny stood on the sidewalk in front of the office of the W.B. Bradbury and Company building, A strong gust of wind swept down the street. She listened to the leaves scratch the sidewalk as the wind carried them along. Straightening her hat, she climbed the steps of the door, wondering, "Will Mr. Bradbury like my newest hymn?" She visited his office regularly now. Sometimes Mr. Bradbury assigned her only a title or a subject of a song. Often he played a tune for which Fanny was to write the words. Sometimes she brought her own songs and she composed her own. "Fanny," Mr. Bradbury exclaimed after he heard the poem, "how do you write such perfect songs? This is just what the churches need." The little woman leaned forward. "Why, sir, I always pray before thinking of even one word, and God gives me ideas. He helps me remember scripture verses I memorized, and he guides me to choose the right words to put into a hymn." Mr. Bradbury was not well and often had to go away for rest. Finally, he became so sick that he could not even set Fanny's songs to music. He called for Fanny. "This is my final interview," he said. "My final one. My work is done. You must continue what I have begun. I am going to be forever with the Lord." 4 years after they met, Mr. Bradbury died, and Fanny was heartbroken. The first hymn they had composed together was sung at the funeral. At the end of the service, she felt God saying to her, "Fanny, pick up the work which Mr. Bradbury left." So Fanny continued working for the publishing company. Soon she was the most well-known songwriter. Because of the growing popularity of her hymns, she was invited to speak at YMCAs, at missions, churches, and even at prisons. A friend felt Fanny needed someone to help her set her hymns to music and urged her to send her latest poem to Howard Doane. Howard Doane was a rich businessman who had written music since he was 16 years old. Now he was only 30 years old, but he had a heart attack. As he was recovering from his illness, he felt God wanted him to write sacred melodies and compile hymn books. But Mr. Doane was not a poet, and some of the best tunes had no words. While on a visit to New York, he was asked to write a hymn for the anniversary of a mission. He had a tune in mind, but he couldn't find any poem to go with it. Kneeling on the floor of his hotel room, he asked God, "Please send me a suitable poem or some poet who could write words for all these songs that I've written." Just then, someone knocked at the door. A messenger boy handed him an envelope addressed to Mr. William Howard Doane. Quickly, he read the letter. "Mr. Doane, I have never met you, but I feel impelled to send you this hymn. May God bless it, Fanny Crosby." The poem began, "More like Jesus would I be." It was just what Mr. Doane wanted. He sat down and wrote a gentle tune for the words. When the mission director heard the song, he exclaimed, "Oh, where did you get that song?" Mr. Doane answered, "Fanny Crosby sent it to me. Do you know where I can find her?" Writing down her address, Mr. Doane determined to meet her. Wealthy, well-dressed Mr. Doane felt people staring at him when he climbed the third floor of a poor tenement house one evening. He knocked on an attic door to which he had been directed. A little woman answered the door and peered at Mr. Doan through greenish-colored glasses. Could you please direct me to Miss Fanny Crosby? He asked. Fanny smiled. I am Fanny. Welcome to my home. Mr. Doan was shocked at her surroundings, but he was more shocked when he learned Fanny could not even see him through her glasses. Putting Mr. Doan at ease, Fanny said, God bless you, dear friend. How glad I am to find you. Mr. Doan pressed a bill into Fanny's hand. This is some money for the song you sent me, he said, and he urged her to keep the money. Fanny thought the payment was the usual dollar or two she received for a song. That would be like maybe $20 or $30 or more today. But Mr. Doan had given her much more. She never even thought it was a $20 bill. That would be like $200 or $300 or $400 today. Mr. Doan intended to pay her well. As the weeks passed, Fanny enjoyed working with Mr. Doan. He introduced her to his wife. Mr. Doan's wife was also named Fanny. Soon, she felt like a member of their family. Next time, we'll find out exactly what happens as she meets the family and as she has some other very hard experiences. But then as she's used of God to see thousands of people get saved and come to Jesus. Next week will be our last time that we'll talk about Fanny Crosby. So I hope you'll be with us next Tuesday. Another song she wrote is He Hideth My Soul in the Cleft of the Rock. That's talking about Jesus, us trusting Jesus as the cleft of our rock, as the one who gives us shelter and protection. Let's see if we can sing, He Hideth My Soul in the Cleft of the Rock.
Thank you for being with us today.